Pull up that easy chair and sit right down for the best music in your town. On.
Here on Way Back with Johnny. Now don't turn that dial. The program's about to begin.
Presenting the Grand Ole Opry. Let her go, boys.
And she's known as the Grand Ole Opry.
This circle's full of legends, big and small.
Howdy, friends and listeners. Way back with Johnny. This here is your old host with most country western music, Johnny Woodlock, here on CFRC 119 FM and www.oshawarocks.com. I'd like to invite you into a 3-hour celebration as we pay tribute to what marks the centennial celebration of the Grand Ole Opry from Nashville, Tennessee. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this trip back in time to the greatest show on earth. That is, of course, the Opry. With that, welcome into the Way Back with Johnny Show here on this great channel.
So if you like your music countryfied like me, you'd be next to heaven at the Grand Ole Opry.
1925, just 5 years after the nation's first regular radio broadcast, a new Nashville radio station hit the airwaves. Owned by the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, the station's call letters, WSM, stood for the slogan, We Shield Million. On November 28th of that year, country music history was made when announcer George D. Hay walked up to the microphone and introduced old-time fiddler Uncle Jimmy Thompson, who claimed he could fiddle the taters off the vine. This was the beginning of the WSM Barn Dance. 2 years later, Hay, who became known as the Solemn Old Judge, gave the barn dance a new name. From that time on, it was called the Grand Ole Opry.
We are devoted entirely to the easy, friendly type of entertainment. Let's all get together now and have a lot of fun. And let her go, boys!
Morning, friends and listeners. Way back with Johnny. This here is your old host with most country western music, Johnny Woodlock. And before we start today's show, I'd like to just dedicate this program in loving memory of a late friend and father to me. That, of course, is Papa Willie B. As a small child, I grew up so fondly remembering the Grand Ole Opry of Nashville, Tennessee. When I grew up, I would become a huge fan of the Grand Ole Opry, and one day I hope to go down to Nashville and take a tour of the Grand Ole Opry. But first of all, we would like to remember those old nights when I used to go out to the cornfield back in the woods of Lyndhurst, Ontario, with my late father, Papa Willoughby, the man I am speaking of, and him and I spent many a night listening to the Grand Ole Opry over those old static radios. That was long before these new crystal clear sets that we get on the radios, on the cell phones and television, smart TVs. But back in the day, it was all static, and I'm sure y'all remember. And with that mentioned, I'd like to dedicate this program in loving memory of him and all the others that grew up listening to the Grand Ole Opry. So with that, thanks, Dad, for sharing your love for the Opry with me, and this one's for you. We love you, Dad.
It started out when I was just a lad, with a Western auto guitar that I got from my dad. My spotlight was the evening setting sun. I'd hope and pray this day would someday come. This circle's full of legends, big and small. And Lefty and Eddie's cattle call. There's Lester, Bill, and Earl, whose banjo changed my world. And tonight I'm in the circle with them all. Thank you. this two-lane road has always been my home. Dreaming about a Stetson and a suit of rhinestone, I'd look just like a star with a new flat-top guitar. Then the circle'd be the place where I belong. This circle's full of legends, big and small. Tater, Webb, and Patsy, Porter, and old Grandpa. From the Tagamini Pearl to the blue Kentucky girl, tonight I'm in the circle with them all. For me, so many folks have cheered and prayed that God would guide my travels and I'd make it here someday. All of my heroes have sang right here for you, and tonight my biggest dreams are coming true. This circle's full of legends, big and small. From Miss Kitty to the possum and Farron's hello all, hello. With all my friends beside me pouring their hearts out for you all. They're the greatest circle of them all. Friends and family who cheered us through it all. Tonight you're in the circle with us all. Tonight you're in the circle with us all.
With that, friends, good morning and welcome into this Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. Yes, I would like to remind y'all that we're still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios located on the shores of the mighty St. Lawrence Seaway in Cornwall, Ontario. And yes, we can also be heard via our home on the radio at CFRC 119 FM and also, yes, over the World Wide Web at www.oshawarocks.com as well as YouTube at Way Back with Johnny Woodlock. With all that shared, I would like to welcome you all to this weekend's special tribute to what marks the 100th anniversary of the formation of the greatest show on earth. That, of course, is Grand Ole Opry, which went on the air back in 1925. However, the official date of the Grand Ole Opry going officially on the air was November 28th, 1925, a month after the WSM 650 airwaves went on. Either way, I would like to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Opry today, along with y'all here listening in. I'd also like to celebrate today with memories of the old Grand Ole Opry and its stars. First of all, we're going to hear a song by George Hamilton IV, which was like a second grandfather to me over the years, before my radio career ever started. And George recorded a song many years ago called Circle Wood. Then we'll follow with one of the greatest tribute songs that was ever recorded and written about the Opry itself. That is a song that Conway Twitty called The Grandest Lady of Them All. Also, I'd like to mention that many have claimed the throne of Queen of Country Music over the years, including our beloved Miss Kitty Wells, the true Queen of Country Music, but to me there is only one true Queen of Country Music besides her, and that of course is the Opry itself. With that, I would like to say good morning to everybody listening in, and here now is our tribute to the Grand Ole Opry. I would also like to mention mention that during this program, I have taken a lot of love and admiration for each and every performance that I play on this program. But, of course, with the Opry's 100th anniversary, there is some stars that are missing from this program, which y'all will remember and be sad that they weren't included. But that doesn't mean that they are nonetheless important in this program or in this story. With that, we would like to pay tribute to the Grand Ole Opry today. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Here's a young fellow we know you're going to enjoy. It's always a pleasure to have him on the program. Let's give him a great big welcome, Mr. George Hamilton IV.
Songs from Jimmy Dickens, laughs from Minnie Pearl, broadcast from the Ryman and heard throughout the world. We'd listen every Saturday as Roy Acuff would play a Wabash cannonball in a very special way. There's a circle of wood, heart of the Ryman stain, country music heroes, legends of play. That circle of wood now resides at Opryland, supporting a tradition born in this land. If the circle could talk, what would it say about the people from the country who came there to play? Oh, Lefty, Hank, and Patsy, great ones passed away, yet the circle remains in the center of the state. There's a circle of wood, heart of the Ryman State, where country music heroes and legends have played. That circle of wood now resides at Opryland, supporting a tradition born in this land. There's new stars arising almost every day, and the circle of wood will help them on their way to every corner of the world, from Nashville, Tennessee. Their songs will last forever in our memory. There's a circle of wood, heart of the Ryman State, where country music heroes and legends have played. That circle of wood now resides at Opryland, supporting a tradition born in this land. There's a circle of wood, heart of the Ryman State, country music heroes legends have played. That circle of wood now resides at Opryland, supporting a tradition born in this land. There's a circle of wood, heart of the Ryman State, country music heroes, legends of fame. That circle of wood.
She's never in the spotlight, but everybody knows that she's the star. And once she shines upon you, she'll make you truly proud of where you are. She'll wipe away the pain of all the dues you had to pay when the curtain to her world starts to unfold. With mother tender hand, she will applaud and feed the hunger in your soul. And she's known as the Grand Ole Opry, where the legend come to call. She's the queen. Country music. lady of them all. She sings of desperados, a lonesome whistle of a midnight train. And the coal mines of Kentucky, and how it feels to be out in the rain. She sings of Texas cowboys, of hobos and of heroes, and the loneliness of wearing prison blues. But most of all, she sings about the common people just like me and you. And she's known as the Grand Ole Opry, where the legends come to call. She's the queen. Country music, she's the grandest lady of them all.
Now, friends, following those opening songs, we're once again back here, and it's that time in the program to welcome you all into the 100th celebration, to what marks the centennial birthday and anniversary of the Grand Ole Opry. With that mentioned, I'd like to send out some special dedications, as we usually do. And first, we'll hear a song going out to my beloved Mama Dawn today. A song for her today by none other than Amber Digby, and a song called Mama's Opry. Then we'll follow with a song going out to my stepdad, and a good friend of mine, Big Daddy Al, who is celebrating his birthday on the 8th of October. For him today, it's going to be a classic live version of the song by the man in black, Johnny Cash, one of his all-time favorite singers, and from the Grand Ole Opry stage back in the 1950s, it'll be a live recording of Folsom Prison Blues. And then we'll follow up that with a song going out to my dear friend, Willie Lapointe of Verona, Ontario, also known as the Mayor of Verona, as we affectionately know him as. And today, it's going to be the true king of country music, Roy Acuff, and a song that was first introduced to the Opry in February of 1938. With that, it's going to be the classic, The Great Speckled Bird, which also, I should mention, is the first song that was ever sung on the Grand Ole Opry, away from the all strictly string bands that they had back then. With that, I'd like to say good morning to everybody listening in. Welcome in, friends. Heaven's jubilee, and in that
Country music field. He records for Sun Records. Every time he cuts a new record, it goes galloping along the popularity polls. Let's have a great big Grand Ole Opry welcome for Johnny Cash. Johnny, we're glad to have you as a permanent member of our Grand Ole Opry.
Thank you, Carl. It's certainly a pleasure to be here.
Say, what have you been cooking up since I saw you last?
Well, we've been out making a lot of personal appearances, Carl, seeing a lot of the wonderful folks, and we've made a few new records for them we certainly hope they'll like.
Well, how about doing one of your new songs for us, would you?
Thank you, Carl. Thank you very much. We'd like to do one that's on one side of our next-to-last Sun record called Folsom Prison Blues. I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Rich folks eating in a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep them moving, and that's what tortures me. Well, if they freed me from this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Johnny Cash and mighty fine, Johnny.
Now, we hear from Roy Acuff and his Smoky Mountain Boys, one of the most popular numbers we ever presented on this Grand Ole Opry, The Great Speckled Bird.
Every move
that she made. They long to find fault with her teaching, but really they find no mistake. I am glad I have learned of her meekness. I am proud that my name is on her books, for I want to be one, never fearing the face of my Savior's true love. When he cometh descending from heaven on the clouds as he rides in his word, I'll be joyfully carried to meet him on the wings of that great Speckled
Bird. That's fine, Roy. Thank you so much. That was Roy Acuff with his famous number, The Speckled Bird.
You say I need a rest. Why don't I go and see my sister way out west? Well, that's very thoughtful of you, dear, and I'm really touched with all this.
Hi, this is Jan Howard of the Grand Ole Opry, reminding you that you're listening to Johnny Woodluck right here on Wayback at 101.9 CFRC.
Don't think that you're the only one that must contend with evil on your mind.
Now, friends, it's once again that time in the program to take our weekly trip up east to the good old valley we call the Ottawa. With that mentioned, we would like to send out some special dedications to our Ottawa Valley listeners today, especially Uncle Ray and Aunt Margaret Chapisky in Eganville, Ontario today. For them, they're going to hear a song by the legendary Ronnie Prophet, who did a wonderful song called Phantom of the Opry back in the day. Then we'll follow a song for the legendary Valley Heritage Radio founder and dear friend of mine, Vic Garbutt, and also his wife, Linda May Garbutt, and it's going to be a song for them today by one of the fellow Ottawa Valley legends himself, Ted Daigle, who is the voice of the Valley for many years over CJ and also CKBY. Ted Daigle has a song for y'all today called Nashville Bum. Then we'll wrap up with a song going out to my good friend Tom Wilson of Brockville, Ontario. It's going to be a song by Orville Prophet called Tennessee Sunshine. With that, I would like to say good morning to all my listeners up the Valley way, and also good day to all my Valley listeners. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
I'm the Nashville Phantom, and I've been hanging around Saturday Night Live since 1925, since the Opry first came to town. I lived in barnyards, boxcars, and freight yards. There ain't a honky-tonk where I ain't been. Raised on goo-goo bars, moonshine for fruit jars. Born to lose, but determined to win. I'm the Phantom of the Opry. I discovered all the stars, my friend. I am the spirit of country music. Keep those cards and letters coming in. I gave Mother Maybelle her thumb pick, Carl Perkins his blue suede shoes, Todd Acuff the fiddle, made Jimmy Dickens little, and sang Hank Williams the blues. I taught Grandpa Jones how to banjo, Chet the pig, but I learned him to grin. I laid a howdy on Minnie, made string beans skinny, and I do it all over again. I'm the Phantom of the Opry. I discovered all the stars, my friend. I am the spirit of country music. Keep the cards and letters coming in. I took Bobby Bear to Detroit City,
Bob Wills to San Antonio. I put the shine on the boots, rhinestones on the suits, and the hurting in a country song. I was there for Jamie's first blue yodel. I grew the bluegrass for Bill Monroe. I made a gang of old Katie, then I made Dolly pretty, and I'm still moving on with Hank Snow. I'm the Nashville Phantom, and I'll be hanging around, checking out the big stars and tuning up the guitars. Together we're the Nashville Sound. Ernest, I've walked them floors with you many a night. And Charlie, I gave you that country pride.
And Mamel, I even gave you your stutter.
I taught the Duke how to walk.
Big God darn it, even put a nail in Walter Brennan's shoe.
Hey gang, and I even told the DJs how to say.
I've been chasing the big wheels all over Nashville, waiting for my big break to come. Living on catsup soup, homemade crackers and Kool-Aid. I'll be a star tomorrow, but today I'm a Nashville bum. I look good in cowboy clothes and I sing through my nose. Webb said that's the way to get her done. I smoke good old P.S. like the opera star they say. I'll be a star tomorrow, but today I'm a Nashville bum. Well, a friend of a friend of mine is a friend of our divine, and he finally got me on the opera show. I walked out like a star, tripped and busted my guitar. I'll be a star tomorrow, but today I'm a Nashville bum. Well, now here's a song I wrote by myself, note for note. With a little help, it might get number one. You can change a word or two, and I'll give half of it to you. I'll be a star tomorrow, but today I'm a Nashville bum. Yes, I'll be a star tomorrow, but today I'm a Nashville bum.
Just before the sunrise in the morning, I'll be on a highway headed home. Home is just a little bit east of Nashville, where the Tennessee River winds along. Lord, I want to hear the rooster crow, Sourwood Mountain. I got the homesick feeling in my bones. I'll trade these traveling blues for some Tennessee sunshine, Tennessee sunshine, and you, loving you. I worked in the Texas pan of picking cotton, and I tried rodeo late last fall. I worked in a Caterpillar factory in Peoria, Illinois, and traveled Canada east to Montreal. Lord, I want to hear the rooster crow, Sourwood Mountain. I got that homesick feeling in my bones. I'll trade the traveling blues for some Tennessee sun. Since they saw me, I've lost 30 pounds. I sure have missed my mama's country cooking and the Sunday singing with dinner on the ground. Lord, I want to hear the rooster crow, Sourwood Mountain. I got that homesick feeling in my bones. I'd trade these traveling blues for some Tennessee sunshine. Big beat. in my bones. I'll trade these traveling blues for some Tennessee sunshine, Tennessee sunshine, and you loving you. Lord, I want to hear the rooster crow, Starwood Mountain.
I was born beside that river.
Hello, this is Tom Wilson of Border Bluegrass. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on Way Back. Stay tuned for classic country music.
And the St. Lawrence River.
Well, yes, friends, once again, I would like to welcome to the Way Back with Johnny show here today a very special guest of honor onto our program. With that mentioned, this next guest has authored a book called 100 Years of the Grand Ole Opry. And that, of course, is none other than journalist of country music. And his writing credits include CMT.com, The Bluegrass Situation and Music Roll. And he wrote a book called 100 Years of the Grand Ole Opry, which offers an intimate look at the Grand Ole Opry itself. With that mentioned, I would like to welcome Craig Shelburne to our program this morning. Following this interview, we will hear an all-time classic by one of the very first people ever introduced to the Grand Ole Opry back in 1925, and that, of course, was Uncle Jimmy Thompson. So with that, here now is our good friend and a true historian on the Grand Ole Opry, Craig Shelburne. Welcome in, friends.
Hey, Johnny, thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to be talking to you. So let's go back to when and how all this began for you.
Yeah, I've been living in Nashville since 1994, and I grew up loving the Opry, and I got to go several times in the 90s. My main career has been in journalism. About 6 or 7 years ago, I realized that the 100th birthday of the Opry was coming up, because journalists always look for those milestones.
Exactly.
This is bigger than just a story, though, this one. This one needs a book. So I started kind of asking, took some meetings with the Opry, and they started looking for some publishers. It took about 4 or 5 years to kind of get all the wheels in motion, and then we finally got the book deal in April of 2023. So we wrote this book in 18 months.
In 18 months, wow. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But it was pre-planned before that, I understand.
Yeah. We had, well, I worked with a historian who knows a lot about the Opry. She used to work at the Opry Museum, so she helped me with the structure, and then all the Opry members essentially became available to us to help us fill in some gaps with personal stories. So it's a kind of a living, breathing history of the Opry, the way it used to be and the way it is now.
So how did you find, I know you're a journalist, but how did you find your love for the Grand Ole Opry? Did it come overnight, or was it always there?
Yeah, it probably started about 1990. I grew up in rural Nebraska, right in the middle of the country.
Okay.
And my parents dropped me off with my grandparents about every second or third weekend to spend time with them. And my grandmother loved the Grand Ole Opry, and she loved TNN, which was the cable channel that aired the Opry and, you know, dozens of other country programs.
That's true.
So I started watching it with her just to pass the time, and then I got really interested in the cast, story, the music, and country music kind of became an obsession to me as a teenager through the Grand Ole Opry, and I really got my education because of the Opry.
Oh, great, great. So like little Jimmy Dickens says, out behind the barn.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, yeah, and Raggedy Ann, he loves to sing that one back in the 90s.
That's right, yes, for sure. So share with us, I know how the Opry first began, but would you share with us some of the history on how it first got started?
Sure, yeah, started in 1925 in Nashville. There is an insurance company here. We call it several things over the years, we'll just call it National Life.
Yes.
They had a building downtown Nashville, and this was when radio was brand new, and the son of the president of that company thought radio was a good investment. So he convinced his dad to build a radio tower on top of the insurance building, and it worked. And so they started to bring in some live talent, because this was before records were really
coming
on the radio.
Yes.
So they had to have somebody in the studio to play, and they brought in singers and musicians, and they did marching bands and symphony, like whatever, they football games sometimes. So then one evening in 1925, they invited the fiddler to come in. He stole the show, basically, and Uncle Jimmy Thompson.
That's
and the
true.
Fan mail poured it in. Yep, yes. Fan mail poured in, and they thought, there's something to this. So they kind of got their plan together to start. Back then, they called them something like a barn dance.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly, WSM had its own barn dance, and that is what evolved to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And would it be safe in saying that before Roy Acuff, it was a all string bands?
It was a lot of string bands. There were a few vocal groups here and there. But what happened, so George D. Hay was the founder of the Opry, and he favored the string band.
I see.
And he took a leave of absence at one point, and so the man that stepped in, Harry Stone, decided he wanted to try a few new things. So he brought in some vocal groups, and there were a couple other instrumentalists. But yeah, Roy Acuff was really one of the first entertainers that came out center stage. And he failed his first audition. He bombed first time. It's hard to believe, but you know, David Stone, who's Harry's brother, worked at WSM2, offered Roy to come back for a second chance, and then Roy nailed it the second time, and he became a sensation and
the king of country music.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So looking at the longevity that the Opry's had, what keeps it going in your opinion?
Yeah, the fact that it's just world famous is one thing. It's the world's longest running radio show, and no broadcast has ever been the same. So even if you've been in Nashville and you've been to the Opry, you haven't seen the Opry of the following year, if that makes sense. Like, it changes all the time. The lineup changes and the show changes and sometimes the set changes. And it's just an experience and it's fun and it's unpredictable too. So just going to see a concert from your favorite artist where it's going to be a little bit different, but it's also going to be what you like. And it appeals to all the generation now, especially. There's like Riders in the Sky, it's kind of a cowboy outfit that the kids like to listen to, and bluegrass fans get really into bluegrass artists.
For sure.
Medium span, the generation. Yeah. So, yeah, there's something for everybody.
Exactly. So, I know it's not on the list of questions, but share with us how Bill Monroe came to the Opry, if you would.
Yeah, Bill Monroe was on his way across the Southeast. I think he was leaving North Carolina for another station, and he liked listening to the Opry, and he just felt like he should have a shot. So he just basically showed up unannounced at the corporate headquarters and asked for an audition, but everybody that was on the audition crew was out to have coffee. So he just waited until they came back, and they came off the elevator, and there he was. So they gave him a chance, and it worked.
Sure.
Yeah, Bill Monroe was a fascinating guy. He loved the Opry so much, and he was a regular there. I got to meet him there once in the 90s.
Oh, did you? Yes.
Got a picture with him, and I just think, wow, I got to meet Bill Monroe. It seems like so long ago, and I guess it was. Like 30 years ago.
Well, it's hard to believe, but yes, time flies. For sure.
It does.
So, what other legends point out to you as favorites or most notable characters of the Opry while writing this book?
Yeah, there's a lot of characters. I always enjoyed writing about Porter Wagoner because he has such a flashy personality and he really cared about the Opry.
Yes.
And he would always have gregarious introductions to whoever he was bringing on stage. But he was a lot of fun. He brought James Brown out to the Opry stage one time, which
thought
was a really interesting and cool idea, because it was Porter's belief that if you can bring a world-class talent to the Opry stage, that only can draw attention to the Opry.
Very true.
You want to make sure people knew about it. And so James Brown was in town making an album, and Porter tracked him down and said, hey, you should come out and play the Opry.
Amazing.
And he did.
Yes.
So, yeah. It was shocking to some people, but the Opry has that recording in their archive, and it was really, really fun to listen to. So that was one of the highlights for me, for sure.
And one that was recently just on there was Ringo Starr this year, I think. Yes.
Yeah, he made a country record, had a lot of friends come out to play. One of the Beatles on the Opry stage. You just never know who's coming up. It's a lot of fun to look at the listings coming up, because there's some surprises on there. They'll take some risks on people, for sure.
Exactly, for sure, yes. Now, also, your book cover, I also understand, and I have a copy of it signed by you. I want to thank you for that, by the way. But it reminisces the Porter Wagoner the rhinestone suits.
Yeah, it does. Shiny nudie suits, and yeah, Manuel, all those.
For sure. Was that the original intention?
Well, you know, we had a publisher out of New York put the book together, and I think they had a lot of conversations about what they wanted it to look like, because they wanted it to catch the eye. You know, the famous barn backdrop of the Opry is seen everywhere, and I think it took some inspiration to kind of step away from what you would expect for the guitar and the roses and kind of the jewels on this cover. Yeah, that cover looks great now.
For sure.
It has the Target. It jumps right off the shelf the way it looks.
And it pops out at you.
Yeah, it came together fast. Great. It didn't take too many revisions to get it right. I'm really happy with it.
That's great to hear, yes. So share with us, you, I understand, interviewed over 60 people of the legends in country music.
Did. We did a lot of those at the Opry. When someone would come in and play the show, they would sit with us, you know, 15 minutes or so before the show or after the show. Occasionally, you know, there would be artists like Lori Morgan or Jeannie Seely that came during the day.
Yes.
Just in casual clothes, sat and visited with us for an hour or so.
Oh, nice.
We did all the interviews without cameras, so everybody was just really comfortable. We recorded the audio
for
the audiobook. We dropped in their sound bites into the audiobook, but generally, it was just an hour of conversation. I spent a lot of time researching these artists' career and how they built their career to finally get an Opry appearance. And it really was remarkable how much they remembered about their first time on the Opry, who they met, how it felt. I think a lot of these artists really got emotional just going back in time like that and thinking how many of their favorite memories and of their music career are tied to that stage.
Very true, yes. I've had the honor of interviewing a lot of them before they left. Like Jan Howard, for instance, was always an interesting one to interview, and as was Jeannie Seely and different ones. But it's like taking them back into their old memories and reliving the memories with them.
Yeah, I wish we had to talk to Jan Howard, but the Opry archive is pretty rich, so they've got these newspaper clippings from the 1970s when Jan was appearing on the Opry a lot, giving interviews at the Opry. So yeah, Jan's got some representation. She was a mainstay of the Opry. I think she was there 49 years as a member.
Amazing, yes. And it's funny to think of, like you say, the operas keep on changing, but you never really know what's going to come on until that night.
Yeah, and anything can happen. Yeah,
exactly.
But that night, it's fun to him backstage and watch you coming and going, and there's a lot of chit-chat. Some people stand by themselves before they go on stage. Some people are just joking around. Vince Gill is always gregarious. He watches the show, too. Vince's dressing room is always dressing room number one, which is right by the entrance. And
I've
seen him several times
stand
by the curtain and watch the performers before him to see how they do. You know, just not in a judgmental way, but just curious, engaged.
Yes.
This is a really crucial part of Opry in this era, for sure.
Nice.
Hello, folks. This is old Uncle Jimmy Thompson. I'm going to play you a fine quadrille. I learned 4th day of August in 1866.
That's a long time. How old are you, Uncle Jimmy?
82. I've got grown grandchildren and great big great-grandchildren. I'm running cars and trucks yet, and I'm playing the fiddle yet. And I love to look at a pretty woman just as good as I ever did.
I bet you do.
Sure.
Let's hear that quadrille, woman.
All right. Here she comes.
From nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired.
Hello, friends and listeners, Away Back with Johnny. This here is your old host with most country western music, Johnny Whitlock. And I'd like to share with y'all about a great show coming to Cornwall, Ontario. On Friday, November 28th, at the Cornwall, Ontario Outsoul Theatre, that is the night when tribute artist Alan Turner as Kenny Rogers and Laurie Lynn as Dolly Parton will do their Christmas tribute to Kenny and Dolly. You know their music, you love their duet, so why don't you come out and support the great tribute to the legendary icons of Kenny and Dolly. Tickets can be purchased by visiting altsvilletheater.com. Doors open at 7. The show starts at 7:30, and this is one event that's going to make those Christmas dreams come true. So be sure to get your tickets today by visiting Altsville Theater.
Away with me to another world, and
we rely on each other.
Now, friends, following that interview with Craig Shelburne, we're once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny Show on this great channel. I'd also like to remind y'all that it's once again time to turn back the years to the golden age of country music and the vinyl record collection of the Way Back with Johnny Show. With that mentioned, let's turn back the years and open the vinyl vault door on the vinyl blast from Vinyl Past Weekend. Now the vinyl vault door is wide open, it's once again time to turn back the years to a song that was written by Red Johnson as a tribute to the Grand Ole Opry. To me, this here is one of the greatest songs that was ever written about the Opry back in the golden era of country music. It came out in 1964. It was recorded with a band that Red was playing in at the time. It was originally released on Hep Records, which was his own label, I understand, and it exploded on the charts, which made it impossible for the supply to keep in demand. So Capitol Records released it on the label, and eventually it would wound up on the World of Country Music album, along with 23 other artists of that era. With that mentioned, this song has long been in my collection of vinyl records on that 23 song album called The World of Country Music. So I'd like to pay tribute to this all-time classic by Red Johnson called There's a Grand Ole Opry Show Playing Somewhere. With that, we'll be back following this. Send us into the second hour. Good morning, friends, and happy listening in.
So many miles away, only country music's greatest get to go there, where I wish that I could also go someday. I'd see Williams, Horton, Patsy Cline and Copa, Hawkshaw, Hawkins and Jack England too. There's a Grand Ole Opry show playing somewhere in a distant land so far beyond the blue. Twilight, choirs of angels sing the sweetest harmony. As the show goes on in hillbilly heaven, what a beautiful sight it must be. Jimmy Rogers is the MC of the evening. One by one he calls each artist from the wings to perform and do the songs they've made so famous as the melodies are played on golden strings. There's a Grand Ole Opry show playing somewhere starlit stage so many miles away. Only country music's greatest get to go there, where I wish that I could also go someday.
Well, yes, friends, once again, we have reached the end of the first hour here at the Way Back with Johnny Show here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. With that mentioned, I'd like to play us into the second hour here this morning with none other than a song by one of the true queens of bluegrass music, who I grew up listening to personally on the Grand Ole Opry, and that, of course, was the legendary voice of Wilma Lee Cooper. Now, back in the 1960s and 50s, she was one of the biggest stars of bluegrass music for a female artist. With that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to her once again with an all-time classic by her and Stoney Cooper, her husband, and Walking My Lord Up Calvary's Hill. Now, this was taken off the Grand Ole Opry back in 1965. Live from the Grand Ole Opry, here is Miss Wilma Lee Cooper and her husband, Stoney Cooper, and Walking My Lord Up Calvary's Hill. We'll be back following this on the other side of the hour. See if this one brings back a memory or two to y'all out there today. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Now we bring back to the microphone the stars of our show, Wilma Lee and Stoney Cooper. A big hand for them.
Woodlock on CFRC 101.9.